With President Trump's inauguration yesterday, we're looking at one of his key campaign pledges. During the campaign, President Trump called tariffs the most beautiful word in the dictionary.
The tariffs he enacted during his first term caused disruptions for some businesses in America when other countries retaliated with tariffs of their own. Among those who felt the sting of tariffs were soybean farmers. Soybean exports to China fell by about 25% in 2017, Trump's first year in office.
Now we look at what lessons we learned from the trade war during Trump's first administration and what it all means in Wisconsin. Tanner Johnson is a first-generation farmer from Prairie Farm in Barron County in northwest Wisconsin. He's a member of the board of the American Soybean Association. And Thomas Kemp is chair and professor in the Department of Economics at UW-Eau Claire. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Oh, happy to be here. Thanks.
And Tanner, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thank you.
Tanner, I want to start by talking about the soy industry here, big deal, in Wisconsin. How much does the soy field count on exports?
We export almost 60% of our soybeans to China alone. And I would say 75% of all the soybeans in my area are being exported. So to say we are dependent on it is a bit of an understatement.
The first trade war under the first Trump administration, how big an impact did it have? It looks like it was significant, but I don't want to oversell it. What do you hear from your colleagues?
I believe the figure that economists have learned is it was $27 billion from the 2018 trade war, and soybeans are the number one ag export, so we took the brunt loss out of that, and it certainly was not a fun time back in those days.
Tom, as an economist, not just with soy, what do you see as some of the impacts when the U.S. starts putting in tariffs and then trading partners start reacting with tariffs against American products in agriculture in particular? What kind of things do you watch for?
In terms of agriculture, in terms of Wisconsin, you know, certainly the last round of trade wars reduced both imports and exports, reduced total value and volume of trade with China. And of course, that impacts a variety of industries. We've heard soybeans, quite a few others as well.
Are there cases where, hey, maybe agricultural sectors are benefiting from tariffs, from blocking maybe cheaper imports coming in, and so they're making more money, Tom?
Well, that's difficult to say on an individual firm level. Mm-hmm. It's likely. What we really see with the tariffs of the last big round of tariffs is a realignment of trade patterns. So, for example, prior to that, you know, we had a lot of trade with China, both inbound and outbound, and we see a lot of that get realigned to other areas, most notably Mexico. So, for example, trade with China drops off, but trade with Mexico picks up. So, goods and services are just moving in different directions around the globe.
Tanner, with the new Trump administration, the incoming president has said tariffs will be a big focus. What kind of things are you working toward lobbying for in the soy industry?
We're certainly monitoring the tariff situation very closely. I think the net negative that could come from some of the speculative, and right, let's remind ourselves that this is all speculation,
right,
until action is taken, but I think we could be losing up to a dollar per bushel just in the value of soybeans if some of the tariffs at the 60% level are reinstated or enacted. And then that's just off of some of our economist studies, and ASA and the National Corn Growers kind of collaborated on some of those studies, and very thankful to have them, but certainly something we're monitoring. And I'm trying not to be an alarmist. I think being an optimist is why we continue to farm every day, but trying not to be an alarmist.
And Tanner, in President Trump's first term in office, he offset his tariffs with subsidies to farmers. The idea being, okay, we understand that farmers are taking a hit here from this back and forth on trade. We're going to at least make them at least partly whole from what they're losing. Is that something that you saw as a benefit and that you'd want to see if we end up in a similar position this time around?
Any farmer in this country will tell you they want trade, not aid. We would love to receive $0 from the government because that's the sign of a healthy ag economy. So my message resounding will be, I would love a situation where we receive $0 from the government. And I just want to be able to, I want to exercise the opportunities we have in the global market. Farmers themselves are working very, very hard to continue to grow those. And the ones we have today, a lot of those came from farmers jumping on the airplanes and traveling internationally and developing those relationships.
And Tanner, do you see, if we lose, say, China as a market, are there other markets that can pick up the slack when it comes to soy?
Realistically, there is no losing China. I would be very surprised if we were ever out of China as a trade partner. But they import, I think it's 58% of our soybeans as of 2024. And the next biggest markets are the EU and Mexico. And I want to say that's around 4 and 5% respectively. So there's no replacing China. And yes, there are other large countries such as India, but they are not importing soybeans, I mean, nearly to the degree of China. So it is very, very important that we maintain a good relationship in terms of trade for what we're what we are doing in the soybean world anyways.
And Tom, I want to broaden things past agriculture now. What are some of the other sectors in Wisconsin that you watch for when it comes to the impact of tariffs from the U.S. and retaliation from other countries?
It's difficult to say at this point because we're not sure what industries will have tariffs levied upon them, and we couldn't say which reprisal tariffs will be levied upon us. I think it's important to understand first what a tariff is, and that's it's a tax on imported goods and services. And then once we understand it's a tax, it's like any other tax. The degree to which you can avoid it, you don't end up paying it. So, for example, if firms are able to adjust supply chains away from places like China that are likely to have tariffs levied upon them, then those impacts will be minimal. Firms that are not able to move away from China will see those impacts being greater. So the answer to the question would be to consider which industries, there's no substitutes for them. They need to trade with China. It, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like that the soybean market may be one of those. I'm sure there are others, but similarly, there'll be many industries that will shift to alternative markets.
And Tom, making things more complicated is the same tariff might affect two different businesses differently. For example, if we have a tariff on imported steel, that raises the price of steel. If I manufacture that kind of steel, I might win. If I manufacture goods using steel, well, my costs just went up potentially. Are tariffs a double-edged sword in a lot of sectors?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And the question in either of those cases is how can those costs be passed on or not? You know, if I can pass on higher costs downstream, then I can get somebody else to pay that. If I can't, you know, then I'm going to be stuck with it. And that, again, is a question of substitutes. How easily can people avoid whatever products are being taxed?
And Tanner, that makes me wonder, input costs for soybean farmers, the things that you use to ultimately make that soy happen, do you rely on a lot of international products, a lot of international inputs, or is that mostly homegrown and homemade here in the States?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I told you we didn't rely on imports for the inputs. A lot of the world's fertilizer is coming not from the United States. China does produce some, a lot of the phosphorus and things like that. So a lot of fertilizer we're bringing in from international markets. Some equipment, you know, there are several very successful equipment manufacturers all around the world, and a lot of farmers in my area especially, you know, they take advantage of some of the quality products outside of the United States. So yeah, it goes beyond just the actual soybean export market, right?
We're talking about possible tariffs under the Trump administration and what it could mean for us here in Wisconsin. We've got Tanner Johnson, farmer in Northwest Wisconsin, board member of the American Soybean Association, and Tom Kemp, economist professor at UW-Eau Claire. Tanner, I know soy is part of your operation there, but you've got some other crops. Are there situations where China's not taking as much of our soy as they used to. Well, you just move to different crops that might have different potential customers.
Yeah, if there is less demand for soybeans, or United States grown soybeans anyways, then yeah, we would likely pivot to a more profitable crop to keep our businesses open. However, as you know, we would be flooding another commodity or multiple commodities, which would drive down prices. So tariffs don't have to be a bad thing. And again, I'm going to stress, I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but it's certainly a concern, and I think it's every farmer is watching, going to be watching with very, very close attention to the tariff situation.
Now, Tom, I want to get into one of the main cases for tariffs on imports. And this is something that President Trump has said all along, is that okay, there might be a little pain in the short run, but if we up the prices of some of the products we're importing, whether it's steel or manufactured goods or those fertilizers that Tanner was talking about, we're going to promote that kind of industry here in the United States. We're going to promote economic production here. We're going to promote jobs. What is the track record? Is that something that works in the modern economy?
Production doesn't change overnight. Even shifting from one crop to another is no small task. And these things are planned, many months in advance. The time frame that would be necessary for a radical realignment of domestic production would be decades, certainly not months. So that would be a long time in happening, and maybe never. But I would back up from all of that and say for a second that we could do everything ourselves. We're a large nation. Heck, even Wisconsin could do almost everything itself. It has rich natural resources, a diverse and well-educated population. But do we want to? It would be very challenging to grow mangoes here in Wisconsin. And I like mangoes. I enjoy the fact that we can get mangoes. And I imagine there's a lot of folks in China who really enjoy good Wisconsin ginseng and good Wisconsin soybeans. And when we talk about cutting ourselves off from the world, this is what we're doing. We're essentially saying that we don't want to trade goods and services with that other country. And the market suggests that we like those goods and services, and folks abroad like our goods and services. And we end up making each other all better off as a result of that trade. So I find that argument somewhat unconvincing.
I'll leave it there. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
No, thank you.
And Tanner, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Tanner Johnson is a farmer from Northwest Wisconsin and a board member of the American Soybean Association, and Thomas Kemp is chair and professor in the Department of Economics at UW-Eau Claire. We've been talking about the possible impact of tariffs and trade disputes on Wisconsin.